Brother Jose, now bus captain, Sunday school teacher, faithful man, soul winner, great testimony in is working in our college as well on Tuesday nights. We have a college and he is working through that as well. Praise the Lord. Here in our reading this morning are the people of God just delivered out of Egypt, going through the wilderness toward the promised land, and suddenly they're attacked by Amalek. And I'm going to ask if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. I want to read that verse in your hearing, or part of that verse. And it says there in Exodus 17 verse 8, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." Boy, you can always mark it down when you're going to go forward with the Lord. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have friction. And it's going to happen. And you're going to have to overcome, as we just heard in that song. And the first mention of this man, Amalek, is in the book of Genesis, chapter 36 and verse 12. And he is there introduced as a grandson of Esau. And Esau, you know, was the firstborn son of Isaac and Rebekah, and his brother's name was Jacob, and Jacob was the secondborn of these two fraternal twins. Esau, when he came out first, was red and hairy all over, and he and his descendants became continual enemies of Jacob, who is Israel. And so the people from Esau became the enemies of the children of Israel, God's people. Esau and Jacob even fought when they were in their mother's belly. And God told the mother, Rebekah, that Esau would be the lesser, that Jacob would gain power over him and rule over him. And Esau was the son of the godly Isaac and Rebekah by natural birth. But Jacob was their son of promise, and he had a spiritual birth and a spiritual nature given to him by God. Esau did not. Esau represents the internal enemy of every one of you who are believers in Christ, called the old nature or your flesh. And the flesh is always at war with the spiritual new nature that you have and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that you have. So the people of Amalek that attacked the children of Israel here in the wilderness, they were the descendants of Esau, and they really represent the old nature within the believer that attacks you with desires and thoughts in your mind that go against your new nature and against the Holy Spirit sent to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at Galatians and chapter 5, that says that your flesh will always lead you, if you're a born-again Christian, to do just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit of Jesus is leading you to do and think. In fact, in Galatians 5, verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are," just like Jacob and Esau, "these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Now, I'm thinking of somebody that I would counsel with in the church. And they will sometimes say to me something like, "Well, I can't really go to church because I've got too many conflicts going on. And I've got these conflicts going on, Pastor, and I don't want to burden somebody else with my problems. I just don't want to come to church and burden somebody else with my problems." And I tell them that comes from your old nature. If you look at what the Spirit of God says in the Word of God, it's just opposite. In fact, here's what the Spirit of God says in the Word of God. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I said, you're supposed to come to church. You're supposed to share your burdens with brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. and bear one another's burdens. But you're saying you are a burden, so you can't come. No, that is the old nature speaking and telling you to stay away from church, to weaken you and to defeat you so that the old nature will prevail over you. And that's not what God wants. And besides, the Word of God says, let us consider one another. To provoke unto love and good works. If you're here this morning and you're a born-again believer, I prayed for you to come, and I want you to be provoked by being here to love and good works. Not forsaking, it says, the assembling of ourselves together is the manner, that is the habit of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the second coming and to the mark of the beast system and all that's coming, the more you're going to need that kind of coming together in church. And so it says in Exodus 17, verse 16, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek. Amalek is a descendant of Esau, so they are a type of your flesh. And God says, I'll have war with that from generation to generation. That's why I like preaching from the Old Testament, because the Old Testament has New Testament truth concealed, and it's very interesting in story form. And it gets our attention, and it helps us understand God. And I always appreciate that, and so I'm preaching to you from this Old Testament, but it applies today from generation to generation. And so as long as you live in this mortal body, the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a born-again Christian, is living within you. He doesn't leave you or forsake you. And he will continually lead you to be in a war against your old sinful nature, your enemy, enemy number one, so to speak. And the Holy Spirit prompts your renewed spirit about what Jesus wants you to do from the Bible. On the other hand, guess what? The devil will prompt your sinful nature to do whatever feels right to you, whatever feels right in your own eyes. And so if we look at Exodus chapter 17 today, verses 8 through 16, I want to preach to you on some keys on how the Lord Jesus prevails over your enemy. How the Lord Jesus prevails over your enemy, because it's possible, the Holy Spirit's not going to leave you, Jesus is not going to leave you, forsake you, but it's possible that the enemy, your sinful nature, will prevail over you today, this week, this year, rather than the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit prevailing. And so we want to get some keys here on, actually three keys on how the Lord Jesus prevails over your enemy. And I want to say the first key is that it's done by the Lord Jesus himself fighting your flesh to help you to do God's will. You know what? I'm glad Jesus is on my side, or better yet, we're on Jesus' side. Amen. And he is, if you're saved now and you're a child of God, the Lord Jesus is at work in your life to fight against your flesh, to cause you to rise up on eagle's wings and to fly over your flesh and to overcome it and to go forward. And that's the first principle or key, that the Lord Jesus himself by the Holy Spirit is fighting against your flesh to help you to do the will of God. You say, well, how is that here? Well, the Bible says, if you look at it here, look at verse 9 of Exodus 17. It says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Who is the one that was to fight against the enemy, representing your sinful nature? It was Joshua. But do you know what the name Joshua means? Yehoshua? It means the Lord saves. Do you know what the name Jesus is in the Hebrew? Yehoshua or Yeshua. Same name. And Yeshua Or in the Greek translation, it would be Jesus. And Joshua is called Jesus in the book of Hebrews because they have the same name, beloved. And so Joshua represents Jesus Christ. He's your earthly Joshua. That's a type of the heavenly Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came out of heaven to die on a cross, not only to pay for the sins of the world, but that you who believe in him might be dead with him. As far as the old man that came from Adam, the old man that you were, that you're dead with him. When he was buried, you were buried. And when he was raised, you are raised. That's why after you get saved, you should get baptized. It's a picture of what Jesus did for you. And now, if you're a believer, you're alive with a new nature, and you're alive, and Jesus strengthens that new nature. You say, how does he do that? By sending his Holy Spirit to live in you. And by strengthening you, listen to me, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not to feed that old nature, not to listen to that old nature, because then you can't do the things that you want to do, as it says in Galatians 5:17. But the Lord, listen, strengthens you so that you feed that new nature and you prevail over the desires of the old nature. The old nature is still there. But guess what? You're flying on wings of eagles. And you have a new law, the law of flight. And you are overcoming the law of gravity, just like an eagle does. And who is behind that? The one that died for your sins. The one that's buried. He's right now at the right hand of the Father. And he is in you by the Holy Spirit to cause you to prevail over your enemies. And so that is the first principle. How are you going to prevail over your enemy, represented by Amalek? It's by the Lord Jesus himself fighting against your flesh to do God's will. I'm so glad the Lord is doing that. But there is a second thing that Jesus himself would tell you if he's going to help you that must come into play here. And that is the second key. It's by the prayers of the man of God for you. And I want you to see verse 11 of chapter 17. It says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. You said, I thought the Lord Jesus was helping me. Yes, but he helps as the man of God prays. The lifting up of the hand of Moses represents prayer. It says in the New Testament, I will that men pray everywhere. And that's the word specifically for a man as difference to a woman. God is saying when the church gets together and the whole church is together and there are men and women together, I want the men to lead in prayer. That's what God says. I want men. And he said, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The lifting up of the hands is just to show that we're praying to God and we're seeking the help of the heavenly Joshua, the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I'll help you, but I won't do it apart from the prayers of the man of God. That's why I believe Samuel said this to the children of Israel as he was the man of God, the prophet of God in that time. He said, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. You know that it is a sin, especially for a pastor or a man of God, not to pray for the people that he is called to represent and to minister to. That is a very important part of his ministry and why he is set apart. And that's what Samuel said. He recognized that and he said, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. And you know, King David was a king and a leader of God's people, and he went into sin and yielded to his flesh. And instead of praying like he should, he numbered the people and he was depending upon his military strength and he wasn't depending on God. And do you know what God did? He allowed a pandemic to break out and it killed a number of the people of God. And David had to confess his sin and offer a sacrifice, bloody sacrifice, because he too had failed to pray and trust God like he should. Do you know in the book of Acts in chapter 6, in the first church in Jerusalem, the early church, that people started getting saved and baptized, the church was growing, and the pastoral leadership represented by the apostles, they were getting drawn aside from spending hours in prayer. And the reason they were drawn aside is there were real needs in the church. Certain widows needed to be fed, and certain things needed to be done in that church. And the apostles said, this is not right. This is not good. The church is going to be weakened. We're going to be defeated, and the enemy's going to prevail. Because we're leaving our ministry of the Word of God and prayer to wait on these tables. It's a need, but we've got to ordain another office in the church other than the pastor. And the office is deacon. The word deacon means to serve. It's to serve and to meet those needs, to free up the pastor for the Word of God and prayer and that important ministry so that we can all play our position on the team. Sarge knows this. If the quarterback tries to play the position of the center, you're not going to have a successful team. You've got to be in your place. And so God ordained that. And guess what happened in the church? God's power came. The people were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were witnessing. People were coming to Christ. And the church continued to grow because they would not leave that place of prayer and the Word of God for anything. I think of Jack Hiles in the great First Baptist Church in the Chicagoland area, with the world's largest Sunday school of the day. And I remember him making the statement. I haven't forgot it. He said, I spend at least 20 hours every week praying for my people and the needs of the people. 20 hours beyond studying for messages and all that. 20 hours just praying for the needs of God's people. Somebody texts me and they said, do you know Dorothy had surgery? She's asking for prayer. I said, I've been praying for her every day. I've been praying for her every day. We had a problem happen this morning, and I'm so glad I was praying. It was prayer conditioned before it happened. And because of that, I believe God helped to get through the problem and the crisis and the difficulty. But too many people have left. The early church was in the upper room agonizing in prayer. But the 21st century church, frankly, is in the supper room organizing. And too little of the power of God is seen in people getting saved and changed lives. I remember our church began in a wave of revival, Jesse. God was moving in the church. I remember we were up in Dalton, Pennsylvania, and our pastor at the time, Charles Ware, he was a star basketball player at the college. He was an African-American guy, about 6'3" or 6'4", and he could play basketball. And the school really depended on him, and they advertised, you know, Charles Ware, he's this great athlete. But Charles Ware also was a born-again child of God, my best friend through college. And Charles Ware was the pastor of this church, the first pastor. You can see his picture right out there. And he told the people at the college, he said, you know what? He said, I know I play basketball, but now I'm a pastor. I'm starting the Scranton Revival Baptist Church. He said, I do not have time for prayer and playing basketball. I got to pray for my people, study the Word of God. And they said, no, Charlie, you listen, you can play basketball. It's going to be used. You'll get more people that way. He said, I need the power of God. I am not going to do it. And I tell you, I remember the pressure on him. I remember what he went through. I was his best friend. I prayed for him. He confided in me. And you know what? He stood his ground. Thank God for men of God that stand their ground. He said later on, though, when he was a pastor, he said, you know what, Bloom? He said, I get attacked by false guilt when I want to spend hours in prayer. Like, what are you doing? You should be doing something else. No, you should not. The man of God is called and set apart for the ministry of the Word of God in prayer. And we see that happening not only in the Jerusalem church. You know, the Jerusalem church was all Jews. But do you know God's plan is for a multi-ethnic church? It's not all one group. It's the world. Christ died for the world. And that means all kind of different people. And you see that in the church at Antioch. When the Jerusalem church was persecuted, they went, preached the gospel, they went up to Antioch. Here's what it says in Acts 13 about the pastor staff of that church. Listen up, it says, listen up carefully. It says, now there was in the church that was in Antioch, or at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger. By the way, Niger was an African black man. And he was a pastor in that church. And Lucius of Cyrene, and that may have been Luke, a doctor. And Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And Saul. And of course, Barnabas was there. And these were the ordained pastors. But notice what it says about them. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost, as they did that, said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You know, the Bible says the harvest is plenteous, but what? The labors are few. But how do the laborers get sent out? It's when the preachers are praying for the people and praying for the power of God. Then God sent out two of them, and they became missionaries to start other churches. Would to God that this whole area, from Wilkes-Barre to Carbondale, from Tunkhannock to Moscow, our Jerusalem, would be filled with our doctrine. And I believe that prayer of the man of God is behind that, and prayer of a pastoral staff is so important to that. And it needs to be, and thank God for those that understand that, men of God, pastors, that understand that. I know our youth pastor understands that. And I know that I understand that, and I've emphasized that. But you know, there are churches that don't emphasize that. You read the book of Acts, you see there was a pattern. What was the pattern? It started with prayer. And then what happened? The power of God came. And then what happened? The preaching of the word flowed out of that. The preaching of the gospel. Good preaching. And then what happened? People got saved and their lives were changed. And then what happened? Persecution came. And then what happened? They went back to prayer. And they got the power of God and the preaching and people. And it just is a victory cycle. That's how we prevail. That's how you can have the prevailing that we're talking about. How the Lord Jesus, your Joshua, prevails over your enemy, you see. And you need that by Jesus himself helping you to prevail. And by the man of God keying in on the ministry of prayer and the word of God. And we see that in that church there at Antioch. And you know what? When that happens, you start seeing people get saved. Not just one group of people, but all kinds of different people. And that's what was happening in this church. It was multi-ethnic. People came from different cultures and different backgrounds. I know Brother Jose Gonzalez. Where is Jose Gonzalez? Right there. I remember he told me about John Morgan, his pastor there. And I remember John Morgan went with us to First Baptist Church in Hammond. And we would go to the big pastor school and see the great, largest Sunday school in the world at that time. And you know what? We saw all these people coming out from different cultures and backgrounds and languages. And you know where they came from? Chicago. Chicago had that all in there. You know what a mess Chicago is today, amen? We need more of that today. We need more of that in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre. Amen? And people are all afraid of what's going on, but we don't have to curse the darkness. We should light a candle right now. And we should stand, and this is one of the things that we can do, beloved. And if the Bible says that we need to know the love of Christ. What is the breadth of it? What does that mean, the breadth of it? How wide is the love of Christ? It's bigger than you and I. It's bigger than our needs. Thank God he meets our needs. Isaac, you were praying about this yesterday. He meets our needs. He blesses us. We are so rich. But he's got others that are poor. And his love is for the world, for people that are different than you racially, different than you nationally. I think about Jose Valley here. He's challenged by my challenge to him. I said, Jose, you're going to be a Spanish preacher. We need to have a Spanish church here where we can minister to people. They can just speak. That's all they can speak is Spanish and help them. And still be part of this church. I'm saying my daughter was in the First Baptist Church at Hammond. She made friends with people, a whole Spanish church. It was a whole culture. And those people, God did a work in their life. And they had a Christian culture then. Amen? It's awesome what God can do. The breadth of his love, the length of it. God's love is everlasting. The depth of it reaches down where people are in the low places and lifts them up to the high places. And our former pastor, Charles Ware, he used to say, Bloom, it's not my love, it's God's love working in me. And it's not your love or my love, it's God's love. And that's what they had in that church at Antioch. And that's what these great churches that were great soul-winning churches had. But they had it because of people that had a vision, pastors that had a vision for prayer. And they prayed. And thank God, you know, we've been seeing the need for that. We've been praying for us to reach people. And you know what? We want to reach, you know who I'd like to reach? The Catholic middle class in Scranton. You know, there's a lot of people, they're part of the Catholic middle class in Scranton. And sometimes we forget about those people, right? And we were out getting ready to go and, you know, reach out to people that are in difficult situations. And we saw a police officer yesterday where we went to eat lunch. Matt and I went to eat lunch over here at DJ's. And we were eating at DJ's and the DJ people, hey, Pastor, good to see you. And I was in there. I saw a police officer, a big guy, about 6'2 or 3, nice looking uniform, maybe in his 30s, early 30s. And I found out he had 3 kids, and he's Roman Catholic, and you know, background Roman Catholic, parochial school. His kids are all in Roman Catholic school, and you know what? Brother Matt said he saw him get a hot wing hoagie. He sat down by himself. He said, "Can we eat with you?" And we went over and we sat down and we ate with him. I had a hot wing hoagie. He had a hot wing hoagie, and we ate it, and we talked to him, you know, and we gave him the gospel. Matt and I, we gave him the gospel, didn't we, Matt? We gave him a track with a QR code, and I invited him out to our church, and you know what he said? He said, you know, I love the historical buildings. I know your church. I love to get in there. I said, yeah, come on. I'll introduce you to people. His name is Joe. Pray for him. But I'm saying to you that God's love reaches out, and God wants to save people from all different jobs and backgrounds. And I told him, I said, you know, you guys got a hard job right now. He said, there's a lot more violence now when he started 10 years ago. I said, you got a hard job. I prayed for him at lunch, prayed for him. He thanked me for it, prayed for his family. He's got 3 boys. And so I'm just saying that that this church, the Antioch church, they had prayers of the man of God. And how are we going to win over the enemy and win people to Christ? First, by the Lord Jesus himself, like Joshua did, fighting your flesh and helping you to do God's will instead of helping the enemy and being on the wrong side. And then number 2, by the prayers of the man of God for you so that you can prevail and get outside of yourself and get into God's love and get into the flow of God's love. And then there's a third thing of how the Lord Jesus prevails over your enemy. And I believe that's by those of you that are clicking around the man of God to help him pray. You know, I've often preached, and you've heard me say, how are we going to win? By clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. And that's a key to a victorious church. That's true, clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. By the way, the Great Commission is not just witnessing and getting people saved. It's leading them to the Lord, yes, but it's going out there with that purpose. I'm going to lead people to the Lord. You have to have a purpose. You have to go, Jesus said. Then you have to give them the gospel to lead them to the Lord. Then you have to lead them to come down the aisle and get baptized. Some people aren't doing that. Once you get out there and give the gospel, you need to bring them to church and lead them down the aisle. When I got baptized, I'd been saved, but I needed somebody to lead me down the aisle. I didn't know what to do. I had a guy lead me down the aisle in Michigan, Muskegon, Michigan. I got saved in Muskegon, Michigan, but he led me down the aisle to get baptized. He was a deacon. And you need to, that's part of the Great Commission. Are you doing that? And then the third part of the Great Commission, the man of God needs to lead us in, is to train those people that get saved and baptized and join the church, to train them that they would go out. Do you know what? It was a blessing to see 29 people out on a Thursday night, our all-church training night, that went out. And we saw great things. You come tonight, I'm sure we'll hear some testimonies about what God did that night when we went out there and all the people went out. What a blessing it was. And then Saturday soul winning and going out Saturday soul winning. That's going out to fulfill the Great Commission. I saw Deacon Joe there. I saw the whole Zukowski family there. I saw Miss Diane Payone and Brother Jose Valley. Where is he? He was there. And I saw Matt McWhorter. He was there. And you got Brother Alex to go with you. And of course, Pastor Bloom was there. And I'm just saying that, yes, clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. I came in and I was doing the work of the Lord and going to bring a guy a scripture reading thing. I was going up to Dunmore to bring Kimmy Lake a scripture reading thing. He's in a nursing home up there. And I ran into Eddie Brent and he was giving me a lady's name he'd been witnessing to. If we're going to see the Lord Jesus prevail over the enemy, we need a church that's clicking around the vision of the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. I was texting Jose Gano, and he told me he went out with Brother Joe Thursday night and with Brother Bruce. Where's Brother Bruce? They went out, and he was telling me he had a great time, you know, clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. That's exciting. But wait a minute. There's something else, though, here that you see in Exodus 17. I want you to look with me at verse 12. I'll read it. It says, "But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat there on it. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." So Moses, he had his hands up. And as long as he had his hands up, guess what? Joshua was winning over the Amalekites. But his hands got heavy and they started to drop. And what happened? When his hands dropped, then the Amalekites started winning over the Israelites. Boy, you know what? That tells me if I'm not praying, the enemy's going to be dealing with people. I can't afford to let down. I can't afford to let down my hands. God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. And God forbid that the people that help me and hold up my hands in prayer by praying with me and by helping take things off me that I can't do because God wants me to spend more time in prayer than others do. Man, you're part of that. Clicking around the man of God. And would to God that more churches had people that were doing that. You know, one of the ways you can do that is just by coming out on Wednesday night to prayer meeting. We have a prayer meeting here every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And if you're a child of God, oh, how it's needed for you to be here. And then secondly, when you come, you should write down your praises and write down your prayer requests that you have. You see, and that helps the man of God. And thirdly, you help the pastoral staff by joining with us in your hearts when often Brother Zukowski and I lead in prayer. And we pray for these things. And you can help in that way. Also, we have people that help out in doing so many different ministries. I talk about ladies that are part of the Dream Team and men that help out and our deacons and the things that they do. And what a difference it makes so that we can have our hands lifted up in prayer because when we're doing that, the enemy is being defeated. But when we're not doing that, people are falling under the power of the old nature. And Satan is having a heyday with the old nature. And we don't need that. And so thank God for those that are helping hold up the man of God. I thank God for Saturday morning. I had 9 men, including me, that were praying for this day and for Saturday and for this church and for your lives, our outreach, and for revival in our country. And they're doing that Saturday after Saturday in the morning at 9 a.m. Thank God for that men's revival seekers prayer meeting. Sometime we have 12 men out. Thank God for that. I believe that's part of clicking around the man of God to help, like they, Aaron on one side, and then that's his brother, and then his brother-in-law, Hur, was his brother-in-law on the other side, put a rock under Moses and held his hands up so that he was still praying, as it were, and the Joshua was winning the battle over the Amalekites. And our Lord Jesus Christ will help in this battle over the flesh and over our enemy by prevailing prayer of the man of God. And you can help hold up the hands of the man of God to fulfill that ministry. And you do it when you do your part in the ministry. I thank God we had a problem today in the bus ministry. We had a sickness and a difficulty. It hit us last minute, but thank God for those that helped to hold up my hands. I was ready. I told my wife, we're going to have to get cars and we're going to have to pick people up and we're going to have to do our part this morning. We're not going to be able to run that bus. And I had been working about 9 hours yesterday for things for today. And you know what? And that was just visiting and stuff like that and meetings, not talking about study and prayer. I am saying to you, thank God there were those that helped hold up my hands by filling in, doing their part. And I told my wife, stand down. We don't need our cars. I can pray. I can keep working in the Word, which I did, and doing the main thing that I should be doing. I'm just saying this morning how important it is that the Lord Jesus prevails over your enemy. But remember this, he does it by himself fighting your flesh so that you don't give in to your flesh. Because every time you give in to your flesh, you let the enemy into your home. You let the enemy into the church. You let the enemy into other people's lives because you don't sit in a vacuum. So the Lord Jesus himself fights against your flesh. But secondly, he does it by the prayers of the man of God for you. And then thirdly, by those that are clicking around the man of God to help him stay in his ministry of prayer for you all. It's a winning team. We can prevail, and we need it today. May God help you play your part. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed this morning. Thank God that you're here.